like big tree another way too. Always grow up top. Understand? More hand gestures, as if he were shaping the outline of a mushroom cloud. Perhaps I did understand. You're saying the growth systems were concentrated in the upper parts of the structures?
Yeah.
I nodded. Of course. Those structures were designed to dismantle themselves as well as grow higher. Either way, you'd always want to add or remove material from the top. So the nerve center of the self-replicating machinery would always rise with the structure. The lower levels would need fewer systems, just a bare minimum to keep them ticking over and for repairing damage and wear, and for periodic redesigns. It was hard to tell if Juan's smile was one of congratulation, that I had worked this out for myself, or sympathy that it had taken me as long as it had. Plagues get to top first, carried by root. Start making top of building go wacko first. Lower down stay same as before. By time plague got there, people cut root. Starve building. No change anymore. But by then the upper parts had already changed beyond recognition. I shook my head. It must have been a terrible time.
No shit, mister.
We plunged into daylight, and I finally understood what Juan meant. Chapter 15. We were at the lowest level of Chasm City, far below the rim of the caldera. The street on which we ran crossed a black lake on pontoons. Rain was falling softly from the sky, from the dome, in fact, many kilometers above our heads. All around us, vast buildings rose from the flood, sides slab-sided and immense. They were all I could see in any direction, until, forest-like, they merged into a distant, detailless wall, like a bank of smog. They were encrusted, at least for the first 6 or 7 stories, in a barnacle-like accretion of ramshackle dwellings and markets, lashed together and interlinked with flimsy walkways and rope ladders. Fires burned in the slums, and the air was even more pungent than in the concourse. But it was fractionally cooler, and because there was a constant breeze, it felt less stifling. "What's this place called?" I said.
"This mulch," said Juan. "Everything down here, street level, this mulch."
I understood then that the mulch was less a district of the city than a stratification. It included perhaps the first 6 or 7 stories which rose above the flooded parts. It was a carpet of slum from which the great forest of the city rose. Looking up, craning my neck to peer around the rickshaw's roof, I saw the slab-sided structures ram skywards, perspective forcing them together at least a kilometer above my head. For most of that height, their geometries must have been much as their architects had intended, rectilinear, with parallel rows of windows, now dark, the edifices marred only by the occasional haphazard extrusion or limpet-like excrescence. Up higher, though, the picture changed sickeningly. Although no two buildings had mutated in quite the same manner, there was something common to their shape changing, a kind of uniform pathology which a surgeon might have recognized and diagnosed as stemming from the same cause. Some of the buildings split in two, halfway up their length, while others bulged with unseemly obesity. Some sprouted tiny avatars of themselves, like the elbowed towers and oubliettes of fairy-tale castles. Higher, these structural growths bifurcated and bifurcated again, interpenetrating and linking like bronchioli, or some weird variant of brain coral, until what they formed was a kind of horizontal raft of fused branches, suspended a kilometer or two from the ground.